committee has to talk among themselves before you start. Now you can start.
Okay, today I will present my proposal topic, integrated federated group resources for decision supporting application for installment. Long cycle, but there are a lot of context in it. I will briefly summarize what I'm gonna cover and mention in my next slide. Main motivation is federating data transformation services. Decision support is based on scientific data. In order for the data to be useful, they need to be converted to user-specific information and knowledge. And needs to be converted to the data model that every filter can understand and interpret this data seamlessly. Significant amount of domain knowledge is required for information and knowledge extraction from the raw data. And on the data processing and on the data format. All about data and all about the services. By the data, we mean displaying, storing, transferring, federating in databases or in sensor instruments or anywhere. And each data needs to be represented by metadata to be useful to human being or for the autonomous computing, for example. And services are actually filters in our context. Filters transform data. File to XML or XML to XML or XML to image or binary to image, file to VO table. VO table is specification by the astronomy our services are domain specific metadata about services and data. And another thing that's important for my proposal is decision makers and users. They need ready to use information and knowledge in their problem solving environment. So we need to provide easy to use online tools to access data, information and knowledge easily, in time and seamlessly. And we also need some registry catalog services to store metadata about the data. Goals of scientific data group. That's the general problems, general idea. We don't solve all these list of problems, but there are lots of projects that I will explain in my next slide in the related topics, the related work slides. Goals of scientific data grid is basically discovering data and services, analyzing through computation, and publishing useful, interpretable results to end users. Increasing scientific output through collaboration and federation. We need up-to-date services and data. Data chain. If, for example, it's time-dependent data, it changes very often. Seamless integration of services and analyzing data. Creating domain-specific metadata about data and services to enable autonomic computing. Extracting information and knowledge from the raw data and display them. Here is the literature server about data, data grid filters, metadata, or workflow, or there are five major projects in the scientific data grid area. For example, GEON. Geophysics network work on the GIS domain. Nature Virtual Observatory works on astrophysics. LATE works on GIS. LEED works on GIS. And MyGrid works on bioscience and bioinformatics medical. Actually, when we talk about scientific data grid, related works are basically on workflow, data representation, data transformation, SRB storage resource broker for storing data, for federating databases. So they have some major architecture. Basically, they are on service-oriented architecture with open grid service architecture and service-oriented architecture integrated. They mostly use service-oriented architecture as we do. And some of them have some available sources and applications online, some of them not. And as a workflow, they use John use Kepler, and you use Java execution service and control execution service. Wait use BPL, lead use JSON and JSON scripts produced by X workflow, Composer and BPL. MyGrid uses Taverna and Xcalc as a workflow language.
So one comment. So obviously this is a lot of information, so hopefully you'll have a slide for your committee to look at, because it's kind of hard to read. But so one thing is, should SRB really be a column by itself, or should it be something more general? So
that's a federation?
Yeah, backend data service or something like that. So then GIOD, you say yes, parentheses SRB. NDO, you can say yes, SRB. Lead, you can say yes, whatever they do.
So is that the end of that section?
Yes.
Well, actually, I would say I would die and see what you want to put through.
Yes, then I will stop mine.
I guess I'm concerned. I don't think anybody will understand. I think the committee will get confused by those slides.
This one?
Well, you know, I sometimes have tables like that, but not usually to talk about them, just to impress people you did some work.
Okay.
So I would normally summarize this into a few bullet points and just say, well, here's a table. It's in the piece of paper in front of you, but obviously we can't discuss it at this in this talk because I think you should just say it's a table which you use to motivate your work and to establish previous work, but that's all it is. And then any words you want to say, I would put on a separate slide. So can we go back to the previous two or three slides? So let's look at the tire start here, man. I would say people will be confused by what the purpose of this slide is. Even the title is a slightly strange title, Federating Data. See, if data transformation services is together, you should put them on the same line. The way you read it is Federating Data, Transformation Services. But I'm not even certain that's what you mean. I think the point you're trying to make is that you wish to federate data defined at the domain specific user level. That is the major point, I think. And I believe few people will be able to dig that out of this slide. Because there's too much stuff here. I mean, also, I would
try to get you ready for the next one.
Yeah, but remember, you have these committee here. And they're sitting there looking at their email, and then they look at this, and they say, there's too much stuff here.
Yeah.
So there is a rule I have that unless you should rarely have, you should try to keep the font size as 24. And rarely go, and almost never go below 20. And I don't know what that font size is, probably 16. Because this is just like the table, there's too much information here. And because there's too much information, people don't know what is a slide? A slide is meant to give people something they can easily read and capture a key idea or two. Here there are about 10 ideas. And the real idea, which I think is that we want to look at data at the application level, such as GML and CML, is not really made. So I would think this is not, I mean, if I look at each of these bullets, well, the first bullet is actually not good English. It should be decision support, not decision supports. But it's a statement of what you want to do. The second bullet is a statement about whether they, how they, so that's an actually an important bullet, because it actually tells you, tells people that what you want, you're interested in data converted to user-specific information. And in fact, what you're doing is really not federating data. I mean, you know, there's this thing called DIK, or DIKW, data, information, knowledge, wisdom. That's this hierarchy. And I would say you're integrating at the information or the knowledge level, not at the data level. Data is what the raw sensors give, and information and knowledge, which are not terribly well defined, are at a higher level. And I think what you're doing is with norm. I think web feature services would be information. There's no well-defined discrimination in data, information, knowledge, and wisdom, except the order. Data's at the bottom and wisdom's at the top. And you can draw lines where you like. And the difference between, I would say, an information is sort of in the middle. It is not as sophisticated as, I mean, it's typically normally data's the raw stuff. Information is sort of being processed to put it in standard form. Knowledge is deductions, and wisdom is super deductions. I think you're at the information and knowledge, probably at the information level or possibly at the knowledge level. You're not at the data level. And why I think it's good to get this right is that you have people who think they're experts on databases. And you're trying to say we're not doing the database problem, we're doing the information federation problem, which is often called data federation, but I think it's actually technically information. Now, if we look at this slide, so bullet two, we decided, bullet one is bad English and sort of states the problem, which, without saying it's the problem. Bullet two is an important observation on the data. I don't quite understand the third bullet, significant amount of domain knowledge. I don't understand it. I don't know what the purpose of that bullet is. Especially, what is the main knowledge of data processing / formats meetings? I'd say bullet three doesn't make sense.
Significant amount of domain knowledge is required on the data processing and data format creation. Data modeling.
So what? I don't see what we learned from that bullet. So, obviously. If you're going to move...
Motivation, maybe I'll jump with
you. But you see, you haven't explained... If I'm a committee member here, I said, well, possibly this makes sense, but so what? Everything requires domain-specific knowledge. If you want to read an article about Turkey, it's best to know something about Turkey. And if you want to read an article about computer science, you probably need to know about data structures. So, almost... anything requires, and if you want to build a grid, you better know about web services. So everything requires domain knowledge. I would say that's a tautology. And it's sort of meaningless. We know that raw data becomes information obviously using domain knowledge, because the domain knowledge is needed to know what the data means, because the raw data is just a bunch of bits. I just don't see what you learn from that bullet. And then we have this fourth bullet. How to define, encode, parse, get, query, assemble, display, store, reuse, transfer, better. Well, I guess that's what you can do with data, but I think you could simply say we are studying the, I think it's, you could just state what you're doing, which is studying the federation of domain of information defined at the domain, application domain level. And then you give examples. I mean, this, because, you know, this implies that at the astronomy it is defined at the level of stars and galaxies and things like that, and then for earthquakes is to define the things at the level of faults and magnitudes and things like that. And then we have the bullet under, you know, the bullet that says metadata. Well, I don't understand the sentence. Metadata query. Well, domain specific modeling query. Registries for services and data query. Are these the research issues for Federation? It's not obvious what that bullet means. They're not actually wrong, but I don't quite...
Actually, there are lots of things to mention here, but these are just...
But you see, what does this look?
Keep
it looks
in your mind that I will be mentioning these kinds of
stuff. Yeah, but you see, why
is
this...
It's very complicated, but you will not understand anything right now, but...
Yeah, but you should not give slides they don't understand.
Okay.
That is a... That's the problem. This is just a list. This is very frustrating, this slide, because I think I know most of the words here, but I don't understand the slide. Because the slide is a bag of words. This particular slide is a bag of words, and a lot of words, because the font size is so small, and this bag doesn't have a thread. It doesn't have a purpose. It's not obvious what the purpose is. And when you talked about it, you didn't really tell me what the purpose of this bag is. Like end users need, well, that really should go up near decision support, because the decision support is a statement about end users, I think. And so I think that bullet is actually describing a bit what you mean by decision support. Now we come suddenly back to registries. Well, registries are, well, we mentioned metadata again, which we had a bit further up, and we're not quite certain why it's... So there are lots of statements here which are confusing. And when you have services, they actually filters transforming data. Well, you should say that when you want to make this clear, I think what you really want to say is we are looking at this information level, and you can even mention DIKW and to say, well, some people could call it data, some people call it information, some people knowledge, but we are always interested in information defined at this application level, which means it's typically XML, not some other format, and we are interested in information that either is stored in databases, is produced by filters, etc. But none of this comes out of this slide. Now, I think a lot of it could be moved later.
Yeah.
So this could just have a couple of bullets.
Yeah.
Many fields require users to make decisions, whether they be operational decisions from their homeland security or scientific decisions about the meaning of a certain piece of data or a certain simulation. That decision is often based on federating and filtering, federating and processing a set of domain-specific information sources. We are trying to understand in this thesis how to federate such information sources, which can either be static data or the dynamic, static information or the dynamic information produced by filters. That's sort of the level you want for this slide. You're trying to pose the piece of the problem. I think you want to keep the table.
Okay.
So
some people just wave work. A ton, good, it's got to be good work. So often your work is evaluated just because it looks complicated and sophisticated, as though you did something. I think you did do something here, but what I'm saying is to have complexity is sometimes useful to demonstrate you did something, but you should never talk about it. Never. You just say, here it is. It's far too complicated to talk about, but I did it, and there's a detailed table. I extracted lots of information. We'll give that information later. And if you want, you can have one slide. You can have a slide with bullet points in font size of at least 24, because this is 10, 12. Nobody can read 10 or 12 point font in the talk.
But so then the next slide should be, go back to the table for a second. So then the next slide should be, Jeffrey just said, but a summary. What do you take from this? So all these different systems have, they are combining, or most of them are combining some kind of scientific application, especially Trooper-Lead and Geon and MyGrid. They're combining that with domain-specific data services, many of which are GIS or geographical information systems, but there are other related domains such as astronomy, which are structured extremely similar to GIS. And so those are, and also they all have some kind of approach to workflow and information systems. So those are that recognition of those, of the similarity between those projects, even if they're in different scientific domains, is one of the things that you want to, is one of the points that I think you want to make in that slide. So, but you should go ahead and show the other slide here that you skipped over. No, the next one. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think this is also another slide you probably don't want to dwell on, except to say that these things exist.
Yeah, these are specifications and standards defined over the data and data grid and display of data, cascading, style HTML, etc. So we will be using, and we will be, our implementation architecture will be compatible with all of these.
Actually, sorry, ISO 19100, you can probably say what that is. You don't really.
Yes.
You don't really say what it is.
19,100 to 19,200. Between these two numbers belongs to data and metadata and services and schema definitions related to data.
What kind of data?
Temporal data and special data, for example.
Yes. So yeah, so this one maybe make that,
yeah.
Maybe they,
for example, OGC just constructed over ISO standard. For example, OGC uses temporal data and defines some data model and standard. But it should also be compatible with the temporal and special data standards defined by the ISO.
So you should clarify, maybe reorder those so that it's next to the GIS stuff. So those are basically from the same general category.
Here, my proposal starts from here, after getting some basic information about the data and scientific data grid or something. The problem is the lack of reliable, universally understood data exchange format. Data and data providers are heterogeneous, even in the same domain. our motivating zoning will be GIS, Geographic Information System. And we will be improve this on the other domains, for example, chemistry and astrophysics.
So it's not going to be specific to GIS, right? It's going to be specific to GIS, or?
Basically, right now, based on the GIS specifications, OGC specifications, as an implementation base. But standard and architecture is extended to chemistry and astrophysics applications. You can create the same architecture for different domains.
So are you sure the first sentence is correct? I don't think the problem is a data exchange problem. That says the problem is we don't understand the messages, which I don't think is true. We understand the messages. The problem is we don't know how to better it. So the reason why heterogeneity, I mean, there is some points here which you may do later, which is federation is done in the database community. It is hard to use that directly because you want to do federation over heterogeneous databases and between these results of these filters and databases. So you're doing a problem that is can learn from what the database community did, but is different from the database community. And at least the example I gave was for heterogeneity was Jim Gray, who produced SkyServer for astronomy and completely solved the federation problem. But unfortunately required everybody to run .NET and SQL Server. And people refused to run. And only a third of the people ran .NET and SQL Server. Therefore, Jim Gray, who was a great scientist, his solution was not useful. And was not actually is currently not really being used by the astronomy community because his solution was internal to .NET. So so I think you haven't made this key point that you're trying to define at this XML domain specific XML level a federation strategy which is completely agnostic as to the underlying form of data. You need to describe why it is not the same as DQL, the distributed query language of OxDI, which probably is something you should at least know about, because OxDI does at least support files and XML databases and relational databases. I wouldn't use the word hints. I think somewhere below, you need some more examples. Maybe as one of these bullets or something. You want to say, here are some interesting examples. For GIS, we have the web map service and the web feature service with data defined in GML. With astronomy, we have what they call sky servers with the data defined in data and queries defined in things like ADQL and formatted in VO tables. For chemistry, we have CML defining all that data. So I think it's important to give examples of how each domain had actually, and you can also say GEON has given, was it GEON services? They have a GEON server, I think they do. So I think you want to give some examples and say, we're trying to effectively produce this, we're trying to abstract this problem and make a general solution and using, as you say, GIS as the major motivation for the major place we will do detailed work. The goal is good. I think the goal is correct.
There is a component of the architecture. Our approach is first defining the components, represent the filter system, and then define the interactions between these components, defining interfaces, predefined ports, channels. And in the next slide, in our architecture, FS stands for filter services, and this stands for metadata services, or S stands for other services. Other services is for unknown and domain-specific services, such as server grid applications. It's basically used with some workflow package service. Other services might be a chain of services orchestrated by a workflow engine. Here is the Jeffries scientific data grid of grid architecture. That's the ultimate and complicated world, real world.
But you see, that illustrates the problem. I would actually put that nearer the beginning, because it really illustrates the problem. That you have computers and databases and other grids delivering data. You have these filter services, and if I can come up, what you're trying to do is, I'm trying to sort of draw a line here. We have raw data, information, knowledge, wisdom. I'm trying to draw a line here, which federates all the information at that level. There's some sort of level you want to try to federate. At least that's how I would use this diagram.
The first slide, as I said, is just trying to explain the domain. What is scientific data? What is the problem in scientific data grid domain? But these are not my problems or my research topics. These are just trying, I just tried to get you ready to prepare my architecture proposal, what I'm going to solve in that domain. Here is the Jeffries big idea, actually, scientific grids of grids, as you said. At the base, another grid, another services, databases, and some sensor services, each gets combined as a raw data and becomes data by filters and information by filters and other services, and get that knowledge and wisdom decision. Actually, it's not easy because we don't have a common data representation format. Each domain has its own data model. For example, geophysics, for example, geography has GMS, geographic markup language, defined by the Open Geospatial Consortium. Chemistry has CMS, chemistry markup language. So there are different languages. So these arrows represent different data model, transient pipeline data flow for different data models. For example, let's try to make it simple enough to start to apply it to the real world. For example, let's get rid of the grid, the other grid. And let's get rid of the other domains. And let's take one model that includes filter services and metadata insights. They take raw data from the source, database of sensors, and they make it available and useful for the end users and decision makers in the application science domain. So we get this by converting, and this is a sample interaction between filter services, metadata services, and other services, and raw data provided by database and sensors. Scientific data actually represent language such as GMS and CMS, as you mentioned before, described by attributes. It's XML structured hierarchical data model. And data travels from source to destination and becomes information, knowledge, and decision.
So, actually, go back a little bit. I think we talked about before,
this is not a workflow.
I know, but for different Actually, what I was going to say was for the different domains, maybe it would be useful to have a table that summarizes these things. So you have domain modeling language. So you have chemist, so you have a role called domain lock, or a column called domain modeling language. And you have chemistry, CML, geography, GML, and astronomy, whatever astronomy.
Yeah, I mentioned these three girls.
But just put it in a table. So it's like you have a 3x3 table or a 3x4 table or whatever that just summarizes all the data model, query, the way you do queries, the way you handle metadata, the equivalent of capability files, the equivalent of in the astronomy community of the data services and the map services. So just some of the entries in the table may be blank for chemistry, but you can summarize that. Then when you are drawing this, diagram, it's clear that it will be clear that those can be replaced. Those abstract labels can be replaced with specific services from the earlier table.
How about it?
Go back to that slide. So, how do you correspond those available services like filter, metadata, and other services to perform this flow?
That's the architecture. How to do that? Everything is based on this picture. How to do that? How to make it real, how to apply it. So start from common data format. First, we need to find the data model.
So I don't believe you want the data. I don't think you want the data format. You might want the data, and even a data model. Isn't GML a data model?
Yes.
So that's not going to be universal. That will just be every field will have their own data model. You're not doing research in data models or data formats. They're being given to you. You need a framework that will take these inevitably diverse data models like ADQL and GML and CML and ESML and build architectures that you can have SOAP messages using this data model running around. We're using some things in common, like metadata services, but the actual format of the data bears no resemblance in each case, because the data will be understood by the services, because you will teach your knowledge, your decision support for earthquakes will be very different from your decision support for chemistry. And you will have to build that specificity into your application, but you wish to reuse an architecture. That's what you're trying to do, not the format and not the model.
They use data model for the GML and CML.
Yes, that's what I said. But you're not touching the data model. You're using it. You're not researching the data model. You're saying the world is going to give us a different data model with different formats for every field.
Analysis of the architecture. Actually, all filters and other services are web services are chainable by using BPL for web service or HP search. The CGL web and web service feature language from IBM or any other.
That's one language, but I think that's in the grave. I think you might want to put something like Scuffle or something like that. Scuffle is what might bring you. HP search is a technology, JavaScript is.
these are related to workflow if you want to chain resource-based services. And we are not doing database federation. We are trying to get the data and provide these data by our filter services. And we are trying to make transient pipeline to actual data source through filters. We are doing pipeline data flow. I will explain everything in the next slide. Our goal is federating heterogeneous technology supporting application data and metadata with domain-specific external interfaces. So each service filters need to support a GET capabilities interface. Each service keeps a capabilities file. This capabilities file in our architecture is metadata. GET capabilities provides a set of metadata describing the service, behavior, content, and binding information. Capabilities are composed of three sections: service itself, scientific data provided, functions on these data. Goal is to enable binding with or without human intervention. Actually, I will mention these two types of binding in the next slide: tight loop binding and loosely coupling with metadata sources. Services describe their interface through wisdom. Data goes through filtering operations in which they are transformed and analyzed. Filters actually has a predictable behavior and predictable outputs. Each filter gives different outputs and gets different inputs. Filters describe these in their metadata, which is represented in capabilities part. This is a sample capabilities file for services. Actually, as you said, service name, title, and contact information about the vendors providing these data, capabilities, and which functions they provide, and which type of data they provide, and which specific attributes. That's the general architecture of the service. Actually, these are four types and channels each filter should have. For example, discovery for discovering from catalog and registry for available services. Publishing. Each filter publish its URL and interface to metadata source or outer world to be discoverable. And capabilities file, each filter keeps a metadata as a capabilities. And each filter is web service, so they have visual interface definition file. Linking the filters. Filters are linked in two general ways. One is tightly coupling by peer-to-peer approach. The other is loosely coupling that's dynamic through metadata service. Each filter publishes its interface, and the other filters can search information about these filters, and they can interact with binding after publishing and searching. Metadata service. In our architecture, we will be using metadata services implemented by Aktaş at CGM. And metadata service computes the publish, completes the publish, find, bind nature of the service-oriented architecture. Methods as a service collects the capabilities file from registered filters by their get capabilities interface. Methods as a service enables all the clients to query its metadata catalogs based on its query interface. Query interface might return URL or capabilities file for specific filter services. Metadata service provides services for finding and publishing URL by using UDDI. So, in our architecture, we have three components: filter services, metadata services, and other services. Other services and filter services are same, have same interfaces. So here I'll explain how they interact with each other in the loosely coupled fashion. In the loosely coupled fashion, they use methods of the service. So all the service providers, vendors first publish their registry or not to method of the services. Method of the services makes requests to filters to get their method by using get capabilities interface defined in the data handling service interface. So each filter returns its capabilities file in metadata. So metadata keeps this information. Metadata services keep this metadata in its storage. Now, whenever another filter service wants to connect to get specific data, it makes a query to metadata service by using its discovery channel. After that, it gets URL from the metadata and makes another request to another filter that guy wants to interact. First of all, it should get its capabilities file and learn what kind of data, what kind of services the other filter provides. After learning this information, makes the appropriate request to get data or execute data.
Can you correct where do you keep the metadata in the FS and OS?
Local file.
Local file.
Because each filter has its capabilities file.
No question.
What difference
in the picture than what was in the service?
Well, in the OGC service field, there is no cascading filter services. For example, there is no binding specification. But we are defining standards for the service. For example, OGC defines services as filter services, as feature services, or web map services, or coverage services. But we call all of them as filter services after adding extended capabilities. For example, providing capabilities file, making them web service based, and dynamically updating capabilities file, and cascading services by using filtering and pipelining. But to be able to do that, you should look at the filters as a component, a kind of component architecture. They should provide some predefined ports and channels for that.
You can match up implementation if you implement the feature service or the web service that way, then there will be the same thing. And the OGC service will also provide the capabilities, and you can get data.
Yeah, these capabilities, but in the GIS domain, OGC compatible. So, data federation. predefined domain and
I think the key question on the earlier slide is, what if I make a, it's what if I have a request that I, that no one service can actually fulfill, but a collection of services can fulfill. So if I have a bounding box that's bigger than any, if I have a bounding box that's bigger than any one map server, what do I do? You know, I have to decide if I can actually fulfill that by making, by using lots of smaller map servers that collectively have something that fills the bounding box. If I want, you know, in layers and half of them are in one map server and half of them in the other, I should be able to determine that and decide that I have to put those two servers together to get to fulfill my request.
Yes.
So you're
indicating
the property of the architecture?
Yeah, property of all filters has this architecture. Because each capabilities file can keep different data from different, by different service address. This service address is data. This service address is data.
That's what OGC defines, right? I mean, you should be able to cascade the main map services to get a bigger
They just say that you can cascade. Everybody says, but there's no specification about cascading. They have just defined the specification, interface specification. That's it. Nothing in architecture, in internal architecture. That's the complete internal architecture. How to combine different data in different formats. Filters, actually there are two kinds of filters. From the filters that take data from the database or sensors and convert it to data models, GML or CML. And other filters are intermediary filters. Get the data from other front-end filters, or they can use their, they can be front-end users and intermediary filters by using the other filters data.
So the other part of the answer to Gob's question is yes, so you see define this, but they're kind of unique in that. So what are the other things that you're trying to identify by showing the slides of the earlier table is that there are lots of, this same approach could be applied to lots of different, lots of other domains, such as the astronomy domain or the chemistry domain.
Yes, sure.
Okay, so
architecture is based on capabilities,
the
metadata, and extended and predefined both channels. Each filter provides, provides these properties.
So it's a generalization of GIS architecture to allow it to apply to other domains.
I think these slides are quite impressive. However, I'm worried this looks more like the final thesis presentation than the proposal for a thesis. Because it's sort of the answer. I mean, I think you're likely to get huge numbers of questions. So tell me, how many more slides do you have? Just flip through them so I can see what they are.
Yes. Actually,
I just want to look at them. Just flip. Don't tell me about my.
Do you want me to go there?
Is that the end? I just want to see what you cover.
Research issues, contributions, my content.
So I notice that if you compare this to a more conventional presentation, that presentation would spend at least half the time describing what they did already. And what you're doing, the slides are very impressive. They're beautifully done. And there's a lot of very interesting material here. But you have two two problems. One, because you're not describing anything you do, you've done. So that's the safest thing to do. So I did this, and here it is, and it works. When you do that, they can't really question it because you did it. So it's usually good to have a component of your talk which describes what you've done. And the other problem, which is sort of related to this, the flip side, your talks, your presentation is full of interesting, sophisticated proposals, which are not, which will create lots of debate and are not backed up by any examples. So I think this is a presentation that will last for many hours, and you will either be awarded a PhD at the end, or you'll be sent back to write a clearer talk. I'm not quite certain which, but you will, I'm not, so.
Yeah, what filters functionality, how to integrate all the types of systems, your filters.
I'm not objecting to your slides. I say, I think they're rather nice. Whereas I thought the first slides are rather not terribly well done, they're rather confusing. These slides are quite well done. I like them. They're technically done well, and they're full of interesting material, and you've obviously put a lot of effort into their construction. I think that what I think I would suggest is that you try to make the following point. I have done this. Give some examples of what you've done. I have built the web feature service to do this and that and things like that. And then give some pictures of that or things like that. And then you can say, I have analyzed in detail the requirements of the more general problem and the OGC style architecture, and we come to the following conclusion. The OGC style architecture is a little vague and needs to be filled out, and also has never been implemented as far as we know in any good fashion. And the other point you want to make is we think it can be generalized. There's lots of domains. When that's your for the proposal, the basic proposal is we can take the OGC data federation scheme and build it to be a wonderful GML-based application federation scheme, I mean OGC-compatible federation scheme. And B, we can generalize this to astronomy and other areas, astronomy and chemistry and bioinformatics, by noting that all we have to do is to change GML to CML to CellML, etc. That's the fundamental point. And you can say, by the way, I have produced these 16 very detailed slides explaining this. I would summarize, and you can even put them in the package you give the person. Remember, I told you that the proposal that weighed a lot had some value, or paper, which you should never expect people to read it. They just will look at it and say, wow, that's impressive. My suggestion is that you keep these slides with whatever changes you might want to make in detail, but put them at the end as the appendix. Details of the proposed architecture, and you summarize them. You add a section called what you're going to do, what you've done, and you add these sections, add this material like Marlin suggested about explaining the role of the different the astronomy, how astronomy and GIS and things, see it, chemistry differ, and what the different ways of expressing things are. So we want, I think we want a much stronger beginning, which is less detailed and clearer and states the problem. You want to describe what you've done. You want to say, well, I've actually analyzed it in detail and think I have a very good idea what to do. That's in the appendix. And you've summarized it in two or three slides. Because your talk should be about this length, but it needs, in my opinion, my recommendation would be to have quite a few slides on what you did. That would be my advice. But this, well, if there's anybody at all awake in the audience, they will give you a lot of trouble over these slides, not because they're wrong, but because they're full of somewhat non-trivial. And I think that's dangerous and unnecessary at the proposal. Your job is to get approved. We're not going to give you a PhD on the basis of this talk, even though we should.
So, can we go ahead and go to the, do you want to go to these slides, or do you want to go look at the final milestones and contributions?
Yeah.
Well, some of them are good, like the slide, the previous slide telling you what a filter was. That's rather crisp and clear. And that's something that the stuff on the right is. But the stuff on the left saying what a filter is good.
And this loosely coupling is MD dynamically binding on the slide. This proposed architecture that we are going to do, and we have done some parts. I think these are proposals, not...
But this is a proposal of the details of your thesis, but most proposals, thesis proposals, do not go to this level of detail. They just propose a general field. You have to convince them that SRB has not solved this problem. And you have to say, there are two candidates to have solved this problem properly. Oxidai, SRB, and LEED. I'm not quite certain what LEED has done in detail, but let's take Oxidai and SRB. They would claim to have solved this problem. You have to explain why they haven't. And also the database community has solved it, and I told you why they haven't. But Oxidai is a little more difficult to argue against than the database community, because Oxidai has a distinguished distributed query language, which I think they're going to either have released or will release, and it is built on a heterogeneous backend. So that in principle might does federation.
Architecture provides federating data on demand, chain pointers to real data, knowing to materialize data elsewhere in different service providers.
As soon as you state that, you have to discuss virtual data. Yes, I mean, I would say they're going to be a lot more worried. Rather than worried about whether you got the right answer, they're worried about whether you're properly cognizant of the context. So virtual data is certainly relevant here, which as soon as you mention data replicas will come up.
No,
I think you're asking for trouble by putting a little too much detail. I mean, I think federating data on demand is what you provide. And you need a slide or two. You need to certainly describe what the SRB offers, and you have to describe what Oxidai offers. You probably should describe federation from the database community. So I think you need one slide each on the state of the art.
So you're not incompatible with SRB. So there's replication.
I'm just putting intermediate levels in front of the SRB.
Right, but you're doing a different. It's not. So SRB is
done the data federation problem, and other database people do the data replication problem, but you're looking at a capability federation problem, which is something that can sit on top of the data federation. You're looking for services that do something, you're looking to put together services that do something, not how to get together the data.
Yeah, but SRB would claim to have a web service implementation. OxiDI is the web service version of databases. You need to explain why they don't solve the problem. See, rather than saying general architecture of the services as filters, actually that's not even quite technically correct. Because services, you have a security service and a workflow service. Those aren't filters.
No, we just use data services.
Yeah, but that's not what that's bullet says.
Okay.
I mean, I think actually you could collapse those two bullets and say federating filters and data. Because the key point is, you want to discuss data generated dynamically on the fly, which is a filter, and data sitting in a repository, which is a classical, which is a more classical problem. So I would say federating filters and data repositories is one bullet, which is one of the, that you have to state that quite vigorously, because otherwise, because this will be one of the reasons you can't use OxiDI and SRB, because they don't clearly allow you to do that. They have a different model. And who was on your exam?
Romney.
Yeah, so as Melanie comes from the XML database community, you have to be very careful about what the database community is done. You need to show you're aware of that. Rather than put the last two bullets, I would remove OASIS from the first bullet. Because then ISO, OGC, and IBOA are non, just sort of the domain-relevant standards. And then you just say, we need to build our system compatible with best practice for grid and web services. That takes into account OASIS and W3C and GGF. Just say, we will build it compatible with best practice for grid and web services. And that fourth bullet as an example, the one about GML, you could say, I think comparing astronomy and GIS is quite interesting because they have made rather different architectural choices. So I think an interesting question is, a research issue would be, how should languages such as ADQL, how should languages such as ADQL and GML and CML be defined to capture both the specification of the data and the specification of queries in such a way that high-performance federation systems such as we're designing here can be built? Because astronomy has done something a little different. ADQL is really a modification of SQL.
They just use SQL for
the database. Yes, but I'm noticing it is not the same. I don't think ADQL has quite the same architecture as GML. So a research issue is how you should build these languages. And how you should specify queries. Should you use SQL embedding the domain specific features. It's just a research issue. So the first two bullets are interesting, and that's more related to what you've done, isn't that right?
Yes.
So I think you want to state that my current research is focused on decision support tools, and I have already built them. And what I'm going to do is to use those existing tools to test an end-to-end system which uses those particular decision support tools.
I think you better be careful on the other one about using the word huge. Randy will laugh. I mean, you just want to say scientific data, or large scientific data.
I mean, I'm not even certain. These are good questions, but they're not really connected with the previous slide, are they?
Yeah, in the architecture we are solving these by using filtering. It just provides enabling binding because they have some specific ports and channels and capabilities files. They communicate over peer-to-peer or through the metadata services.
Yeah, but you have the word display there, you see. So I think it's a rather different problem about displaying data from handling data which is passing through a filter.
We didn't mention about displaying data.
Sorry?
We didn't mention anything about
Yeah, but you've suddenly come up with a research issue. Here we are, we're now in R3. And we're coming to this slide, and we suddenly see the word display, and we've not had it before. So I don't think you want to put into your research issues an issue you've not mentioned before. So you better, and I'm not certain it's quite what you want to say, because I would have thought caching and load balancing is equally important for the intermediate filter as it is for the final filter. It's probably more important in the intermediate case, because because you're more likely to have a large cache at the end, but at the end is your final client, which you can do, what you can customize for what you want to do. You need to have these filters in the middle properly work with real-time data flowing through them, which is sort of non-trivial, to be able to provision them properly.
But we are doing load balancing and caching through the filters.
So I think this is all good. I'm not criticizing the material. I'm pointing out that you suddenly brought up a whole new set of issues that you didn't mention before now. And I think one of the reasons there's a problem is you did not ever emphasize this point that you're trying to federate information produced by real-time filters. That's really the problem you're trying to solve. And that then immediately had this as a research issue. But the word should not have display. It's caching and load balancing of scientific data in an efficient and robust fashion. You use the replication service or something, I don't know. Because you want these data, if it's flowing through the router brokering, to be properly stored in a robust node or something, so it doesn't get thrown away. So, So I understand again what you mean by service federation, but it might be the filter federation is a better word. But you need to the trouble about the word service is the word service includes the security service, the filter service, the metadata service. And so I think although it's less more clumsy, I would say data slash filter federation. Again, I wouldn't call it a data grid formalization because data grids is a word. People have already used the word data grid. I would prefer to use the word filter grid if you're going to use a word. But that's what I usually use for that filter grid. And I'm not... Rather than saying defining all the services, you want to say defining all the data sources as. The essential idea is that everything can be thought of as though it was produced by a filter in this standard format. And we have the same, in a very special case of a filter, a static data repository where the filter just fetches it out of the repository. But more generally, this filter is part of a complex workflow. So I would reorganize the proposal around this essential idea of integrating information and filter services. Well, I think you have to have the word real-time. Integrating information and real-time filter services. Supporting caching, federation. Those are probably the areas. And also robustness. You want to support robustness, caching, federation. That should go right at the beginning.
Moderation.
And that is the this complicated other slide at the beginning I discussed at length. You should replace that with some simple statement like this.
So you mean I need to remove these?
I like these. These are a work of art. And very impressive. You will reuse them in your PhD defense. You put them in the appendix as a sort of, you call it pen. And for your purpose, remember, you're not trying to get the final PhD. You call it tentative draft proposal of detailed architecture. Because you're not trying to convince people you've solved the problem. You're trying to convince people you've identified a problem and you know both the technical formalism needed to address it, and more importantly, because you didn't address it here, you know the state best practice of other people who've worked on the problem. Those are what they're going to look for. And you want to put some of the stuff you've already done to show you that you're capable of doing something and that you've made some progress. I mean, there's lots of wonderful material here, but it is not quite at the right... you will not find the committee will understand. They won't understand it. Remember, none of them, these people are going to come in and none of them has heard of a web feature service. None of them has probably thought of filters. I mean, there's all sorts of things they will not know here. And they'll go back and attack you by asking about what they do know, like SRB and federated databases and OxidEye and stuff like that. you need to, so I would add a substantial section on what you did, which will also help to motivate the problem. I would state sometimes the problem, like astronomy and earth science, each of which has around 1,000 repositories. And by the way, the data often has to be filtered because it needs to be transformed from ones transformed on the fly to remove to, you know, do image processing, say, for astronomy. And for CML, it has to, the raw data from screening centers has to be passed through filters to be able to extract chemical information of interest, et cetera, et cetera. So you, and we know why GIS has to go through filters. You can use RDAM and other examples. So you can give lots of examples. We need examples. Because you want to, you have to show, you know, that you've posed a good problem. So the most important thing to do is to convince people that this concept of a federated mixture of filters and information repositories is a good idea. And you need to convince people that you're technically competent at solving it and that you know the work, the relevant existing work, OXIDI and SRB. You should also know what, what's it, CIMA, is that right? That's the one that Maggie's working on.
Right.
So given that you have, if Melanie's on the committee, you better know about XML databases and General Database Federation. And for Randy being on the committee, you better talk to Marlin and people about CIMA to make certain you know the CIMA example. Because they also probably have any problem like CIMA doing real-time data, in this case crystallography data, could have, you know, could be relevant here. You're trying to solve too big a problem with most of these slides. You need to convince people that you have stated an interesting research area, you've done some good work so far, and you know the necessary technical backdrop and the state of the art in relevant related work. That's all you have to do.
Actually, I removed this slide from...
Well, you're certainly not going to get to slide 41, so... that I do know.
Is that backup?
What?
Presentation is finished. Just backup for it.
You want, I've told you. So I would try to make some of the slides you have in your backup. But... they are really quite impressive. Some of this material actually wants to be moved forward because it's related to the work you did, and it also is good examples. So you need to look at this stuff at the end and move a bit of it to the beginning, because you must spend, let's say, a third of the time discussing what you did, because it's a win-win for you. They will never question what you did, because you did it and they didn't do it. But they can't attack you. But they can attack you on almost anything else. They can ask you questions about somebody who federated XML databases and you'll be unable to answer it. So you wish to minimize the number of slides where you can be attacked. So slides where you did things are good. Especially if they show the problem isn't the problem this other person did. That's your strongest. The strongest case you have is we have already implemented these streaming filters and we have this integration, we have this problem this very moment today, etc. You can also, I think, usefully use these things like the Indiana map server problem where every county has that's the simplest example of this, although you're not going to be tackling it, but I think it's a good example. We have 92 counties with 4 different software systems, and they all have different versions, that the federation can never be done at the... I mean, GIS is a good example where federation can never be done at the database level, because they're using ArcInfo or what have you already, and they've already hidden the database. Nobody can... you can't see the database. So you have to do it at the web feature service level. You must do, because that's all that's exposed. Or the web map service, whichever you prefer.
Actually, the feature service is implemented by GOV, so information service is
No, I'm talking about a real problem. The 92 counties in Indiana each have their own personal map service. And there's no way you can get these counties to talk to each other, because they're each supported by different tax bases. And they will each decide to buy a piece of software independently. And each of those pieces of software will expose the data at some high level, because that's all there is. And the same is true in astronomy. Each of the different wavelengths is funded separately to produce the astronomy data. They will not necessarily expose the database, and they will also each choose to use a different database. Somebody will be friends with Oracle, somebody is friends of Microsoft. These are good examples of why you may not solve, it is impossible to solve this at the database level. It's got to be solved at the application level. And as far as I know, this application, the key idea, problem that you're solving, which as far as I know is not being solved by other people, is that you're federating and addressing everything with two special features. A, it's the application level, and B, it's real time. Although it could be static, the map server problem is static. It has very similar issues, but it's static. It is not being produced in real, it is not being changed in real time, which a typical filter service will do you. So you have these two key features. It must be done at the application level. If we owned the world, if you were a dictator, you could make every county by the same database and the same map server, effectively just by one piece of map software, and you would federate at the database level, and that's more efficient. But it will never happen. And it won't happen in astronomy either. And it won't happen in earthquake science either. They will all do their own thing. So it's very important to state the problem. I think that is your, because it explains why it has not been solved up to now. People have solved a harder, a simpler problem. Because they've not really thought of it. They've not really, and this has all come about because we're building these grids which link. Hello.
Christians. Please click on me.
Sorry about that. That was an obscure number. I must be using Skype or something. It's got lots of zeros in front of it, so I had to answer it to see what the person was because I couldn't call back.
I think I need this
slide. Well, I don't know if the slide is quite the right slide, but think of it in there. You've got to state more clearly the problem, more clearly why it hasn't been solved. You do have to discuss the related solutions, such as federated databases, SRB, which I think is the most relevant is SRB in my opinion, but OXIDI and SRB, and you must describe your work, because they want to know what you did to show you did something, and plus it's just a win for you. As I keep telling the other students, you must put this on your home court. Your home court is the problem that hasn't been solved, and your own work. Those are things which you own. As soon as you get into...
This is what I have done.
No, but your trouble is the way you stated it, there were too many places they could think they knew the answer.
I know the architecture, because...
I understand. You think you've done your PhD, and you may well be right. It is sufficiently impressive, your slide, but you may well... It is possible that we should just award you a PhD at the end of this talk and just say, wow, this is so important, we better give him a PhD. However, there is no way, given these people are coming in from scratch, that they will believe, they will be able to understand this. Very well. I just think it's not possible.
I should state the problem.
You need to do solve a simpler thing. I've told you what the simple thing is. State the problem in a very clear fashion, so that it's clear it's a new problem that hasn't been solved. Explain the work you've done up to now and how it feeds into your next set of research, your actual research. Explain what everybody else has done up to now, which is relevant. Sketch the approach, which is the summary of these slides you gave. State various things you'll have to do, check scalability and performance and things like that, discuss all those things, and you finish with the slides you currently finish with, which are contributions and milestones and things like that. And then at the end, you have these very detailed information, this complicated table, the actual detailed proposed architecture of the new system. But at the beginning, you have to point out why this is a problem of importance. And the reason why I don't think they'll understand it is the community doesn't understand it. Because people do not know. For instance, Oxidai, which is a huge amount of money has been spent on, is not used by many people. So you can ask, why is it not used? And the reason it's not used is because it's solving the wrong problem. The problem is not federating databases, which is sort of what it does, or providing a uniform interface to databases, because JDBC and ODBC and .NET already do that. The problem is federating is your problem, and Oxidai does not address that problem. It's at the wrong level. It's at the database level. But nobody in the community understands that. Very few. All you notice is the astronomers refuse to use Oxidai. The astronomers refuse to use Jim Gray's solution. You then ask why. The reason is what I said. Each wavelength in astronomy uses different databases and has different interfaces. We must federate at the level those different communities provide the information, because each of those communities is funded separately and they will not agree. There is no way, because there are different countries with different people in charge. You cannot get them to agree. Oxidai and JDBC and ODBC are useful. It allows you to build services accessing databases that run with the databases, but you can't federate at that level. You've got to federate at the filter level, which is the business logic level. You have to make that key point. That's all. Just make that count. Will be fine. You have, because that is and you can't do much more. You're meant to be a 45-minute talk. By the time you introduce things and smiled and describe what you've done, you only make two or three points. And people's brain only remembers seven things or something. So they can't possibly go through this. But you put it there as an appendix. Called Detailed Architecture of the New System.
Am I going to cover it during the presentation or just...
No, it's too complex. You're meant to finish in 45 minutes.
Yes.
You cannot go through slides of that detail and finish in 45 minutes. It is impossible. You can show them and spend... put them up for 3 minutes, but I can assure you nobody will understand anything, including me, because to go through those slides requires, that type of slide is not terribly easy to go through in slide fashion. It's much easier in a paper, because when you're reading a paper, you're operating in a slightly different mode. You can flip back and forth and things like that. With talks, you have to have everything in your mind. Everything has to be captured by the slide in your mind. You're not allowed to flip back and forth or go forward. You have to remember the poor person in the audience only has the seven things that you can remember simultaneously in the human brain and the slide. And he has to use his near-term memory because you're giving him lots of new information. So you're allowed to give him seven new things which he or she will remember. and the slide. If you give more, too much stuff in the slide, or too much stuff for them to remember here, there's no chance. Because they can't go back. But they can then be impressed. So you just put them at the end and impress them, it's fine. But you need to focus on a set of higher level slides where the only, I think, the two of them, you need to add your own material and you need to add a description of SRB, Oxidai, and Database Federation. Those are the things you need to add. The rest is just reorganization. Always keep it on your home court. That's the rule. And don't write incomprehensible slides, because then they'll take it to their court, because that's all they can do. If they see a slide they don't understand, either they will fall asleep, or they will ask difficult questions, either of which you like. Remember, you have a simple job to do. Get through the proposal exam. You know, I'm trying to get through with a plus-plus average. You're trying to get through. You're not trying to get a PhD. You're just going to get through. Just do what it takes to get through. Okay, thank you.